Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, hello there now. I'm recording this again on my phone. As I record the introduction to today's podcast, it's Thursday evening. It's the evening before you're going to get it. And I'm in my bed. It's 20 past one. What are you reading, Stephen? It's 20 past nine in the PM. I came straight home after doing my show, which I rarely do. Came straight to my humble abode because I am doing a midnight show tonight, followed by a half one show. And I said I'd come straight home after doing my hour show, get some rest, eat some pizza, snuggle up in my bed, and then I'll hop on the bus at about 10:30, 11 o'clock, head down to the venues to do my sets. I'm doing one at the Assembly Mound, which is, to be honest with you, from a distance, it looks like a bit of a castle. It's a huge old room, and I'm delighted to be doing it. I'm on with Josie Long, Mark Watson, Tanya Moore. So I'm really excited to be doing it. It's kind of a cool thing. Hundreds of people will get to see me, and hopefully it will attract more of them to come to my hour show that I'm doing called Ouch. A bit of a longer introduction because I have a very special show coming up for you today, which you're all going to be delighted with. But yeah, just to let you know how I'm getting on at the Edinburgh Fringe, it's going really, really well. I'm very, very, very grateful. We're halfway through, and I'm pretty happy with the fact that I have a solid hour of stand-up comedy, a new show, which I'm very excited about. This has been the perfect journey. This has been the perfect recipe to make yourself have a good show, and I've learned a lot. Today's show was fantastic, brilliant, and I've managed to master the art of getting a room that's not so full of people to laugh and to not even have a round of applause. I'm not even introducing myself on stage at the moment. I just let the music play and I walk on stage. And if they clap, they clap. If they don't clap, I don't care because I'll get them. I'll figure it out. And that's what Edinburgh has really helped me with, to be a better comedian. There's no cheering myself on stage or going, please welcome to the stage, blah, blah. I did it for the first few shows and after that I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to walk out and figure it out. And that's what Edinburgh really pushes you to do. Because every audience that comes in, you don't know who you're going to get. Some people have just randomly bought a ticket and they haven't a clue what to expect. And I like the challenge of it. It's making me a better comedian. It's really pushed me with my performing and with my writing. And I love that. I feel like I'm finding my voice a lot more. As in my comedic voice, my writing voice, the things that I want to say. I think I'm finding that a lot more, and that's very exciting for me. I'm really, really enjoying it. I got to see some other shows as well. If you're around in Edinburgh, I would recommend you going to see Matt Ewan's. It's a comedy show, but it's nuts. Lots of technology is used in it, but it's interesting. Make sure you have the energy to go to it now, because I was pretty exhausted when I went to see it. But Google Matt Ewan's at the Edinburgh Fringe. I would also go see Nikki Britton, who's on in the same room as I am in Studio 4 in Assembly. But I went to see her show the other night and she was fantastic. She was brilliant. Comedian from Australia. Really liked her. She was brilliant. And she's a cool chick as well. She's a cool gal as well. So go see Nikki Britton as well. I went to see Kat Cohen as well, who I gigged with at the Ivy Gardens Festival twice now. And delighted to have her, have been to her show. If you like that kind of thing, it's kind of cabaret. She's a fantastic singer as well as a comedian, and a very strong comedic persona on stage that I think is very unique, and I think it's brilliant. And all these people are pretty unique, to be honest with you. That's the beauty of the Edinburgh Fringe, so go check them out. I went to see some kind of a Magic Mike circus / stripper show the other day that I got dragged along to. That was a bit mad. Obviously all the Irish greats are on as well. David O'Doherty's show was great. Go see Jason Byrne, who's also doing a play during the daytime. And what else have we got? I can't think off the top of my head what else I've seen. But anyway, I'm going to try and see a lot more before the end of the festival. It's hard to get to see it, to be honest with you, because it's a long old day with the flyering and the performing, but it's all going well, like I said, and I cannot complain. I had one really, really rough show this week, and it was like throwing my head against the wall, to be honest. It was terrible. I ate shit for a whole hour, and what was really annoying about it was nothing to do with me. It was not my fault. They basically didn't fill the room from the front, and everybody decided to sit at the back, which is behind the lighting. So I couldn't see the way the lights are shining in my eyes. I couldn't see the people sitting at the back. So I couldn't deliver the performance to anybody. I couldn't read the room. I couldn't see eyes. I couldn't see faces. I couldn't gather a vibe. And it was a fucking nightmare. So today there was less people in, but they're down the front where I can see them and chat to them. And it was brilliant. An Irish comedian, Porrick, I can't remember his second name, came to the show, and thank you so much for coming, my man. He posted a lovely photo on social media of me, and it was great. It was a really cool photo, actually. I really liked it. So thanks for that. Thanks for all the messages. Everybody's very supportive on Instagram, and I'm constantly sending messages, so thank you very much for that. Everybody says, geez, you're killing it over there. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm very happy that I am writing an hour. I've written an hour of stand-up comedy, and it's ready to tour. I can go tour Ireland tomorrow now with a brand new show, and that's what makes life happy for me. And I look forward to doing that. And who knows about other countries? I would love to do that as well. But it's exciting. That part of it is exciting. And being here with so many other performers, it really gives you the hunger to want to be better and to write more and to make another show. So I'm already thinking about the next show, the next hour after this. And I just want to be a better comedian. And so it's all those things, all those boxes have been ticked. I'm delighted with that. What other news is there? Oh, yeah, I did have this written down somewhere. Listen to this. This is very funny. Probably part of my best performance at this whole Fringe Festival is my flyering. I'm a killer flyer. I'm amazing. But there's a big poster of me next to the box office on George Square outside Assembly, right? And there's a bigger poster of David O'Doherty right next to me. And I walk out from Assembly Gardens one day while I'm flyering, and there's four lads. I can hear the accents. They're Irish, and they're looking at the picture of David O'Doherty and the picture of me. And I overhear one guy going, I don't know who that Irish guy is, but David O'Doherty, I know what I'm getting. He's a legend. I'm not going to try some other fella that I had no idea who he is. And as they're looking at the poster, I stand alongside them, admiring the poster with them. And I kind of chirp in. I say, he's actually not bad, this fella, at all. It's kind of funny. Actually, you can see the quote there from Jason Byrne, who says he's a brilliant comedian. And they all look at me to say, who the fuck is this guy? And the man who was saying that he wouldn't go and see me starts going bright red. The other lads start pissing themselves laughing. And I keep going at him. I was like, he's a man from Maynooth, actually. I keep going at him, you know, like, but I don't know, maybe he's total shit, you know what I mean? Maybe you'd be wasting your money going to see that guy. He's obviously not he's probably not funny at all because you don't know him. That means he's not funny. Yeah, sure, you're better off going seeing David O'Doherty instead. This stage, the lads are pissing themselves laughing. And then I look your man dead in the eye and I say to him, you can't not buy a fucking ticket to my show now, can you? Because I have the lot of you pissing yourselves laughing. Not funny. And sure enough, the lads turned up to the show. But wouldn't you know, they turned up late. And the only place they could sit when they came in was the front row. Sure, I had a field day off with him as well for 5 minutes at the front of the show, taking the piss out of him. So, thanks to him for coming. Oh yeah, and they both shook my hand on the way out and said, thanks man, that was fucking hilarious. Today's show was brilliant. I had women and men in the front row in their, at least their 70s. They were old, getting on board and laughing and having the crack. And then people behind them were in their 20s and they were laughing as well. And that's a good feeling. Edinburgh pushes you to do that because you have no idea what kind of people you'll have in every day. And it really pushes you to make, to grab an audience, you know. So you have to figure out a way how to make it work with every audience. So it's great. I've really enjoyed doing that. I bumped into David O'Doherty yesterday, and he said a wonderful thing to me as I was telling him how I was working everything out. And he was saying how you can't really write a show like this when it's your own show. It's very hard to write and do a good job of that writing, doing that in a comedy club, because a comedy club is very much putting people under pressure to be bang, 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 punchline, punchline, punchline. And it's very much, you know, you have a host who hypes up the show and you bring on the acts and you get everybody to cheer and all that kind of stuff. And in that sense, because you're not the only person on the bill, you as the actor are entering the audience's world, their world, to make them laugh. But the difference with this kind of thing is that the audience is coming into your world because this is your show. You are the only name on it and you are bringing them to another place. And I have to thank David O'Doherty for saying that to me, because that got me excited about writing shows, about being a stand-up comedian, and about the possibilities of it. And it made me very, very, very happy. So yeah, I'm on the home straight, really, about 10 days, 11 days left of this Fringe Festival. Let's see how the rest of it goes and what other adventures I get on. Yeah. Thanks for continuing to listen to the show. And yeah, today's episode is a fascinating episode because it's me and my good friend, Des Bishop, whom I'm missing. I'm not going to lie to you. He was here for the first 2 weeks and he was only doing 2 weeks at the Fringe. And now he went back to his beach house where he's, let's be honest about it, truly happy being there. We had a good rhythm when he was here for the 2 weeks. We'd meet for breakfast, have a coffee, play pitch and putt, or hang out with Jason sometimes. And we had a bit of a rhythm going and it was great. And because my house is a bit farther away, I would kind of hang out in his apartment as well in between shows that I had and all that. And it was great. But in this episode, this is a very specific conversation, because on one of the days that Des and I go to play pitch and putt, drama occurs. And as this podcast is recorded, we have just got back from the game of pitch and putt and we're both still pretty high in adrenaline because violence has occurred. Yeah. So I'll leave me and him from the other day tell you the story of how we were essentially attacked and how we dealt with it. And we're kind of still on the come down from that situation. And yeah, well, I'll let us tell you the story. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the message. And all that's left to say is, let's do this.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Hello Steve-O Podcast, a very special episode because it's been a long time, ladies and gentlemen, since I've had a guest on the show. It's been years, in fact, but I want to give a warm welcome to the one, the only, Mr. Des Bishop.
Thank you, Steve. Wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful to have you back on the show. And let's be honest about where we're at, Des. We're over here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and we've just, we're feeling amped.
We've had a pumped up day.
We've had a big pumped up day.
Are we starting with that?
We can do, yeah. I mean, we can, but we just get it out of the system, Des, so then we can, you know, because I was thinking, right, on the way over here where we go to do the podcast, I was like, what will I chat to Des about, blah, 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 and then what happened, happened. So we got to fucking talk about it, man.
To be honest, I'm only coming down off it now.
Yeah. I think
so you want to set the scene?
So
first of all, we've been having a lovely time here.
First and foremost, we've had a lovely time, lovely hangs.
And one of the nice things that we found was Pitch and Putt in the Meadows.
We had a lovely morning set up. We met up in a local cafe that does amazing food.
We played yesterday.
Yeah.
No issues.
No issues. We played yesterday. We have a beautiful...
And now, you know, just to set the scene, for people that have never been to Edinburgh... in the Meadows, there's a public pitch and putt course. There's nobody minds it. And you don't like rent clubs. You have to buy clubs. People buy shitty clubs in a secondhand shop.
Yeah.
And it's open to anybody to play.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to describe because I don't think anything like that exists in Ireland. But it's basically a massive big park. But then there's a pitch and putt course. It's kind of marked out.
It's like a super cool public amenity. Yeah. And everybody plays.
It's free.
And you know, there's nothing to it other than. It is a pitch and putt course.
Yeah.
It is clearly marked that it's a pitch and putt course. There's signs everywhere that say caution golfers.
Yeah.
People
are walking their dogs. People are hanging out in the sun. They're having their breakfast. They're having coffees. All that. It's a beautiful thing that we can all get along together and play in a public pitch and putt course. You'd think.
And yesterday was great. Now, I did warn Steve. I did say that it might be a little busier today because it's Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday morning.
But actually, we successfully navigated that.
We did.
In that we tried to start on the first hole, but it was a little too busy. But we did find a very clear opening.
Yeah.
And by the way, just in case there's any golfers listening, this story has nothing to do with us cutting in.
Yes.
So, just in case you think we're leading to an argument over...
Because Des knows golfing etiquette, ladies and gentlemen, just so we know, I don't really...
Yeah, this is not really a golfing etiquette situation. Needless to say, we skipped from... I think we skipped from 1 to 9.
Something like that,
And it was a perfect spot that we found. We never encountered any other golfers in front of us or behind us.
Nope.
So, back to bliss.
Yeah.
We were back to the same bliss that we had achieved yesterday, despite it being the weekend.
Open holes ahead of us. Yeah, we were a good run ahead of us.
And I think we were on the 9th of the 10th. No,
I was further on.
It was the 11th.
Yeah.
Maybe the 12th. I think it was the 11th. Downhill.
Yeah.
Downhill tee shot.
Des has taken a shot off the green. Nice shot.
I hit my shot.
Yeah.
You were about to go, and you want to take it?
I was about to take my shot, and we were kind of already commentating, and like I'm lining up, and you can clearly see Dez's ball is there on the green, and this couple holding a tray of, you know, their flat
coffees,
whites or lattes or whatever,
but also golf clubs.
Also holding golf clubs, so they obviously had been playing.
They had been playing.
So they know what's going on. They understand people are playing, and they're kind of walking across.
And walking across is not an issue.
Yeah. That's fine.
Walking across is not an issue.
That's fine. But they are walking across. They're not really, they're paying attention to something going on the other way. They're not paying attention to us at all. They're standing right next to Dez's ball.
But they stopped. So they decided to stop on the green.
Yes, on the green.
While we were waiting to hit.
While we're waiting to hit. And we're waiting for a bit.
I understand that it's a public pitching putt course. They're not golfers. But... there are signs all over the place, caution golfers.
Yes.
And I have cut through that pitch and putt course before, but I am always conscious of being aware, is anybody hitting out of safety more than anything else?
Yeah.
Whatever about respect.
Yeah.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
So.
And they're standing right next to a fucking golf ball.
And they're standing next to a golf ball. And to be honest with you, they had been walking down the path. And I mean, I'm pretty sure they would have seen my golf ball rolling onto the green. It wasn't that long after my ball came to a stop that they walked onto the green.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, no big deal, but they did stop. And then they ended up stopping for quite a while to the point where you were waiting to hit.
Yeah.
And there was like...
they had their backs to us.
But there was just no reason to be there anyway.
No. So I kind of whistled. Nothing. I kind of shouted, kind of called, nothing. And then I said, oi, oi. And she turns around and I kind of just pointed like that. Could you move on over that way? And she did, I don't know if you, she did shout something back,
But I was like, whatever. I wasn't really listening. I was concentrating on taking the shot. She moved, took the shot. We play on.
It was a guy and a girl.
Guy and a girl. A couple, yeah, yeah. It looked like a couple.
Yeah, they left and we took the shot.
Yeah, we took the shot. We went on. She definitely said something to me, but I was like, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
But I could feel tension at that moment, I will say.
Yeah, I would have forgotten about them, but I did know. I had noticed already that they... I noticed that they went up onto the hill and sat.
Right.
I had noticed that it... Well, I thought it was them. I wasn't 100% certain, but I thought it was them. But anyway, we continued to play, I think, about another three holes. And then we came up to...
We were coming back up to them. We were cutting back to where they were sitting on a hill.
So now it turns out that our tee shot is about 20 to 30 feet close to them. But they are directly in line.
Yeah.
With the next
completely
hole.
In line from the tee shot to the flag, they're sitting right in the middle.
But I am oblivious to them holding on to any awareness of that we were the guy. You know, like I.
Oh, you did? Okay, because I knew.
I knew it was them.
Yeah.
But I thought it was them.
Yeah.
But I didn't think anything, and I actually I didn't know they got annoyed at us or anything.
Do you know how I knew that? Because A, I heard the little callback, but B, I could hear her accent. And she was like every Londoner that I made coffee for, right, giving shit about who I was. I was the work. I was the help. That was the attitude that she called back in. So I knew that she... And I also knew when you were being polite to them about moving, which is what happens next.
I said, wow, you guys have a lot of faith in our golfing skills.
Yes.
To sit there,
yes,
is what I said, jokingly, like,
yes,
with a smile.
I quite said, wow, politely, you guys quite charming.
You have a lot of faith in our golfing skills to sit there. And I was it she said?
She said.
Well, it's a public park.
Yeah, it's a public park. You can just play around us, she said.
You can just go around us.
You can just go around us, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but you know, like, I said, yeah, but you know, like, I said, it's a huge park here. I was like, you know, this is the pitch and putt part,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, there's signs everywhere that say caution golfers. And she was like, yeah, well, it's a public park. And she was like, and you were quite rude. What did she say? You
she
heard
said
her.
Something about, she said something about, and you were rude to us before. And I was like,
"Oh, you! I think she said you shouted at us before."
Yeah, which is what you do when somebody's far away. You can't, yeah, like, what do you do? And I'd also called a couple of times, and she ignored. So it's like, so I got louder to say, "Whoa, you know, get a move on," type of a thing. But I was like, you know, it was just like shouting so that she could hear me because ignoring us.
I said, "Yeah, well, it was just out of safety." I was like,
"Out of safety." That's right, you said.
I said it was just out of safety. Like, you stopped right on the green.
Yeah,
like, you know, and. She was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, but you know, you guys could just move like 10 feet over there. Like, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it was a huge park.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, you could just go around us.
Yeah.
So I was just like, listen, I'm not getting into it. We're going to go around you.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
So we start walking. But as
but you did, the best part I knew when it was over, you're like, all right, okay. You turned to me and just waved out. Come on, we're walking past them.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't getting into it because, like, yeah, it doesn't matter. There's like, yeah, 30, yeah, there's like 36 holes, like just,
yeah,
fun, stupid holes.
Yeah.
So I was just like, all right, okay, fine. Like, we'll go around. I'm not getting into it. But I did say, but just so you know, you're being an asshole. You know, like, this
would say 100% fucking were being assholes.
Like, just absolutely. This is a public park.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Wanted to get into that.
So they were like, you know, I was like, you're being an asshole. And they were like, they were, I guess, giving it back as good as they were getting.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, listen, it doesn't matter. I was like, I know this situation. Like, you have chosen, you have literally chosen to be in this situation. You've done this deliberately. It's all good.
Yeah.
Right? You're being an asshole. It's fine. We're going around you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they were saying shit back. I didn't care because, yeah, like, obviously, the even bigger man would have said nothing at all because we were deciding to not get into it.
Yeah.
But I was in the mood to go around them.
We did go around them and we walked past them.
Yeah.
We were gone.
Like,
we were actually gone.
But I was definitely dropping a little bit of, like, you know, spite, yeah, on them because, yeah, they were being dicks.
Yeah.
Like, but it's fine. I mean, like, in every way, they were being assholes.
I mean,
there's just no way around it. There was just no need for any of this aggro.
Yeah.
And even when they were standing on the green, we weren't being aggressive. We were just like, hey,
because, yeah,
like, literally, like, we're it's a pitch and putt course, and we're just waiting for you to step off the green.
All that was self-entitled. Nobody talks to us like that. They were completely self-entitled.
And I can't even remember what they were saying back because I didn't care. Like, I really, my blood wasn't even getting up.
Yeah.
With their thing, I was just like, whatever, like, who cares?
And then...
And then...
Then, it was the first time I've seen Des go full Queens.
Even though you've probably heard about it.
Absolutely. Right. No, I do... Actually, I do remember one of the time. But... and I can't remember what it was that you... That you said to him, but whatever, I can't remember what exactly was said, but he responded, the little swirmy little like fucking worm, 19-year-old English, middle class, self-entitled, probably little rich kid, definitely fucking uni kid, sat there and he goes, yeah, you know why, mate? And I hate when they do that mate thing, it winds me up something terrible. He said to me, he's like, yeah, you know why, mate? Because you're an American. And that was it. Fucking game over.
We were a good bit past them.
We were gone. Yeah, that's why it was such a little cowardly thing to do. We were gone. We were gone. And I turned back straight away and I was like, fuck this guy, like in my head. But you fucking...
What did you say? You said...
I said something about being a Brit so-and-so or whatever like that. But
the funny thing was that she reacted straight away because she was the instigator.
Yeah.
Right? But she...
Because he actually has said pretty much fuck all up until this point.
Didn't say much. But he said that, and then she immediately gave out to him.
Oh, did she?
Oh, she was not happy that he said that. Well, I mean, I saw red.
Fuck me.
I fucking turned around, and I was like, oh, I said, now you're going too fucking far, you xenophobic cunt.
I was like,
because I'm fucking American.
That's what you said straight away. It's like, you xenophobic asshole. And I was just like, that because now nothing that they've done has any justification whatsoever. They've crossed the line. It's like, you can't fucking do that. And,
It
really showed them up for what they were, but fuck me, Des, you did not.
Well, I really wanted to hit him, man.
Hold back.
I mean, like, and he was sitting there with that smug English fucking head.
Yeah.
You know,
little
the
smirk.
English accent would go. And listen, this is pure anti-Englishness now. So we're hypocrites. But like the English accent, it goes fucking through you, bro.
Yeah.
That fucking entitled London fucking accent.
Yeah. It's middle class.
Because you're an American.
Because you're an American, mate. Because you're an American, mate. That makes you a fucking... That makes me that you're an idiot.
I was God knows what I was saying, but I was... But the whole problem was that I was dying to hit him, and you can't hit them.
No.
But he deserved it. And I'm not saying violence is right in any form.
Yeah.
But he deserved it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He deserved it.
I was standing there. At no point did I feel like, come on, Des, let's go to pull you off him. At no point.
He had this smug fucking look in his face. And I said, bro, I said, you have no idea how lucky you are.
Yeah.
Because the only thing protecting you right now is the law. Because you, I said, I should kick your fucking head in right now. That's what you deserve. I said, it's nearly a fucking hate crime. That's actually what I said to him. I said, it's nearly a fucking hate crime.
That's what you said.
Just what you did.
You should be arrested for what you did. It's a fucking hate crime is what you said to him as you were walking away.
I didn't really care. Yeah. But I was just...
But that was using... That was the right thing to say or the right words to say for what it is that he said.
No, because you know why? Because it was like, he deserved a kick in the head. This guy deserved a kick in the head.
Yeah.
But I can't do that because I'll pay the price.
Yeah.
But yet, he can fucking... You know,
he can
like say this like
he can slur you because you're American. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like whatever. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
like
we're not allowed to say about the other thing about what you said, what you did say. What
no,
he got
yeah,
wrong.
We're not talking about that. But, oh, we're definitely not talking about that. But anyway, needless to say, I was so fucking. I mean, the blood was up in me.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Up in me.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And he was like sitting down. He didn't get up. And I had golf clubs in my head.
Because he never said anything for the whole thing when you're ranting at him, I assume. Because you can't get a fucking word in at that point. And what's
He just gave me that smug look. Like,
yeah.
But he knew that I couldn't do anything. But he also, you know what he gave me the look of? Somebody that didn't get hit as a child. That's that's what I was looking at.
Of course
I was
it fucking
looking
was.
At somebody who doesn't know that yeah. when you fucking act an asshole,
yeah, there's
you
consequences.
Get a fucking smack.
There's a consequence.
And
for
I'm
this
not
shit.
Saying that that was good.
Yeah.
But I am saying that this guy hasn't been hit.
There is a time and place.
Because you can't do that.
No.
Listen, you like I didn't do it because I'm self-controlled. But 20 years ago, I would have hit that guy.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm older and wiser.
Yeah.
But I'm still have a bad temper.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just everything. And what was so annoying, too, was everything about the scenario was from them.
Mm.
They sat there to be annoying. They said it's a public park to be like. The
they
whole,
stood on the green to be fucking annoying.
Everything
they did
was
to
like,
annoy
why
us.
Why are you being dicks?
Yeah, you're just being assholes.
Just like, we're out here just enjoying the park. Just walk through.
And she was definitely the instigator of the whole fucking thing.
Was,
she's the one who shouted
park.
Back first. She's the one who started giving you shit first. He didn't get involved. And then he's the one who crosses the fucking line. And
I actually said at one stage before the American thing, she was like, it's a public park. I was like, do you realize the hundreds of acreage
yeah.
that are around here? There's just this
it's
one
a huge,
section.
It's literally a huge, huge
it's like
fucking
half
park.
Half of Edinburgh city centre is the yeah. fucking meadows.
Yeah. And
it was infuriating.
But then, of course, because he crosses the line, he's the one who gets the fucking bollocking. And she's disgusted at him.
Yeah, she
and
ran
she
away.
Marched. She runs off on him.
She marched off on him.
Because then it's
he
our,
had to fucking run after.
Because then we had to go down and take the next shot. And it was just like it's so fucking hard not to hit these fuckers
oh,
with
that's
the
right,
ball.
They didn't get up straight away.
They didn't get a butter.
So
and then
they were there. And
they,
I said to Steve, I was like, "Fuck, it's hard not to fucking hit it at them." Because we would have been protected. Because we would have said, "Oh, it was a bad
we're
shot."
We're playing golf. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
A, yeah, like yeah. there's obviously insurance on the. You know,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's a fucking pitch and puck. Why would you decide? Like, literally, we are not the only people playing pitch and puck.
Yeah.
Why would you decide to sit in the middle of a pitch and puck course? There's only one reason. To look for aggro.
Of course. Well, no, they're not looking for... See, again, what you're saying about not being used, that they're not looking for aggro. They're looking to piss us off and then fucking be self-entitled and try to teach us a lesson. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to fucking have you know... It's a power fucking...
But when I guess when I say look for aggro, I mean that. I'm saying the same thing that you're saying. It's like, they're looking for this.
Yeah.
They're looking for this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And she marches off and he is running after her, but I don't know if it's out of fear, but she definitely got a fright as well, I think.
I mean, I was trying to intimidate him. I wasn't trying to intimidate her, but man, he had a fucking smug look on his face.
Yeah, but he said it. He crossed the line.
Because you're American. I mean, come on.
It's because you're American, mate. Like, it was so... He also thought he was so smart saying that.
He thought
it was the smartest thing ever to say.
But you know what? In a way, he is fucking smart because he knows that I can't... You know, he knows he can't get what he deserves.
He
deserved a kick in the head. And he left himself in a very vulnerable position
yeah.
the entire time.
Yeah.
And he had these fucking stupid sunglasses on, his fucking little pale English fucking head, looking at me with this smirk. Did you see the smirk?
Yeah.
The whole time he had this fucking smirk.
Yeah.
And oh God, I kept visualizing my foot in his fucking face.
But he was shitting it at the same time.
I know, and I'm sorry if this is too violent for people, but like
comedians.
It's so annoying. I mean, this fucking... Listen, man, I'm very critical of America.
Of course. But that was the other thing. He doesn't know anything about you. He doesn't know anything about your politics. He doesn't. But to say an American, what the fuck does that mean? What does that mean? He's a New Yorker.
I have to say, over the years, like, it's not the first time I've had to deal with.
You were saying that in Scotland.
But even regardless of that, like, there are, and that is just passive aggression, right? Because you're an American. You know, but like, it's so annoying because it's like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, it's so. Oh God!
But it's that British "we are better than the rest of the world" attitude, and not just British, English. It's this English self-righteousness.
And their accent shouldn't be a trigger. But it is.
But because there's a self-righteousness in that accent. It does represent stuff. And then you act and you talk to other people. You talk down to other people like that. And it's like, look at the state of fucking English politics. Look at the state of Brexit. Look at the state of England right now. And you have the self-righteousness to talk down at somebody and just fucking say, oh, because I'm an American. Because you're an American now, you're more stupid.
Especially when... We're being the bigger people by just... We skipped the hole for them.
Yeah.
We literally didn't play the hole.
We did what they wanted to do.
Yeah, because, like, I don't care. I don't... Like, have your moment. I couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
But then when he said
that... is what you said. You kind of did say, have your moment. Yeah,
I did say that.
Yeah. Okay, you had your moment. You had your moment. We know what you are. You have your moment. What you're doing, just so you know, what you're doing is being an asshole.
That's amazing. But it's 100% true.
Of course they're being assholes.
And I admit 100% that I said that. And that was me looking for trouble. But I was content with that level of pettiness because I knew that I was going to walk by.
Yeah, and she was also being an asshole.
Well, they were being dicks. There's just no way around it.
So we had to get that out of the system.
But I have to say that his face, he had this fucking face. Like, some of it's youth, too. Because, like, how many times when you were a kid, I know when I was a kid... Like, if, like, I guess we were being loud or, you know, some...
You'd wind some adults up.
Some old person would get annoyed.
Yeah.
And they would say, get off my property or something. Yeah, we're on, like, the sidewalk. And we'd say, the sidewalk is public property. Yeah. This is public property.
It's all that self-entitled bullshit.
He's doing that shit. Yeah, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, you think, when you're young, you think you're right.
In Dublin now, you can't talk to anyone of any age at all because they just call you Peter on the street straight away. Like, they can't say shit. I was flying for a comedy club recently and I didn't realize the age of the... I thought were women, they were kids. And one of them, I said, comedy club tonight... whatever like that, and one of them goes, we're too young, and the other one goes, pedo. So you can't fucking send the kids, you know,
that's
anymore.
Funny.
But anyway, we got that out of the system, and it is it's been a good... I mean, other than that, that is the only downside.
Oh, that was just
I will say, the first time I worked with you was the first time I saw you go full Queens. I don't know if you remember, out in Solstice in Navan.
Really?
Do you not remember that? It was bad. It was the first... I hadn't met you. Christina brought me out.
Oh no, wait a minute, man. Don't be...
It's not bad.
Don't be outing any bad behavior, man.
It's not bad behavior. It was a traffic jam. It was a stressful fucking moment. And it's fine, whatever. Do you remember the back door was locked and all that? It's fine.
I don't remember that. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Really? I don't want to get into this. It's not bad.
No, you're trying to establish a pattern of behavior. No. I'm not doing that. I'm not going.
That was years ago.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. I have no idea what you're talking about. But anyway, other than that, let's be honest. I mean,
can we just one final thing?
Wrap it up.
I am better at playing golf after an incident of violence than Steve.
Yeah. I didn't hit one good shot after that.
Steve could not play golf. And the match went to shit after that.
It did. It really did. I hit one good high one. That was it. But it was like aimed at the wrong hole.
Steve, I guess I play a bit more golf than you. I've become a little bit better at dealing with moments of adrenaline.
I was impressed by that.
In,
like,
my golf swing.
You shot up way fucking higher than I did and brought it right back down and started hitting the birdies again. Yeah, I was just like fucking taking divots off. After that
was such a dilemma. I really wanted to hit the ball at them.
Yeah.
Because they stayed in that spot.
I don't think they realized
when they told us to switch that we'd be playing right back across towards
them. Stupid fuck.
It's a pretty small course.
Yeah, literally.
But thank God we didn't. In fairness, you were like, don't hit it at them.
I did say that,
because I really
I?
Was gonna.
You're like, it's so hard not to hit at them. And I was like, yeah, don't bother. Because I think point was made at that point.
Yeah.
to be
just
fair.
Just sitting there. Like,
just like we had gone past him. Because once you used the word xenophobia over and over and over again, he's fucked because he's completely in the wrong. He has completely done the wrong thing.
And by the way,
she's disgusted at him for saying that.
Can I also go on record?
But she started the whole thing. Yeah.
Can I also go on record to say that I don't think it's a big issue, anti-Americanism, or I'm not suggesting that I felt heavily offended.
It's
just not cool.
You don't do that, yeah.
So anyway,
I still called him a Brit bastard.
He
didn't hear me.
Fucking Brit bastard. Fucking British cunt.
But anyway, we are here.
I went up to him and I said, armored cars and tanks and guns, they can take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Well, that was his self-entitlement about where we fucking were. And he's not even from Edinburgh. He's English. That was the thing. That was the other thing. So like, he's not from here. Do you know? Anyway, we're trying to get to we'll only do a little bit more days, but we've been having a good time. I've been having a great time. This is my first Edinburgh run, and it's been cool hanging out with you here and hearing all the stories.
This is your first time?
First full one. I've only done a week. I did a week before with Son of a Preacher, man.
It was only a week
I only did a week, bro. So it's been fun. But all listening to all the stories from way back when, it's like, how long is it since you've been coming here?
Well, I haven't been here since 2016, but I've been coming for full runs. I've been coming since 2000.
You did a split show, wasn't it?
In your first one, Paddy Courtney did like 45 minutes each. We had a half hour. I don't know why. We had an hour and a half. I don't know why, but.
And why did you? So what? Do you remember your first hour? What was your first hour?
First hour was Comical Warfare 2002
in Edinburgh,
because it was post 9/11. Oh, chemical warfare was the big thing.
Very
so
good.
It was Comical Warfare, and I had some bits about 9/11, and I actually think I did the immersion routine in that.
I was in Comical Warfare?
Yeah, the immersion routine worked okay over here.
I was going to say...
The Scots used to like it.
They're still
tradition. Scotland. Like, when I did that in Glasgow, and the Glasgow stand fucking killed, but the British didn't have as much of a connection to the American. They did. It worked as a routine. But the Scottish, almost as much as good as in Ireland, but in the British, not as much. But the best material of that show, some of it is actually in my first ever DVD, was my post 9/11 material about... Right. Like, Sky News and the red button, and I can't remember those bits now, but and like people, funnily enough, I had jokes about anti-Americanism in that show about people come up to me being like, George Bush is a cunt. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, what the fuck are you telling me?
What have
I
got to do? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What have I got to do with that? I do find like, because as my first run and I'm getting a lot longer at it, I do find I'm learning that every day is a completely different challenge, and every audience is, it's really hard to get a read on the audience until you build your own fan base here. But the one thing I will say is when Glaswegians come into my show, it's fucking great.
Oh, they're the best, bro. Somebody say to me, where do you prefer to play outside of Ireland? Years ago, I always used to say Glasgow.
That's what I say at the moment. My favorite room at the moment would be to play the Stand in Glasgow.
Yeah, dude, I had the best weekend. I'll never forget it. And that's when I met Frankie Boyle. That was like even before, I don't think Kevin Bridges had even started doing comedy.
Right.
I played the Stand in Glasgow. It was fucking great, man.
Because it feels like you can say, you can go, like, that was the comment that a Glaswegian fella, he was there, this is funny, the two of them looked like they were on Love Island, you know, that type of look, you know, gorgeous, fucking all the looks, the tans and the lovely teeth and all that kind of crack. But he was great crack, and shout out to that couple that came to my show last night. But he was so on board with all the darker stuff, so on board with it. They just fucking love it, like, you know what I mean? Whereas I feel with people who are from Edinburgh, and I'm asking every crowd every night where they're from and all that, they can be a little bit more, is that, you know?
They're up their own hole here, let's face it, come on. We're not holding back on this podcast. They are up their own hole.
Yeah, they are a little bit. Because that is the funny thing about doing the Stand. When you do the three clubs in the Stand, you can do Stand Glasgow, Stand Edinburgh, and Stand Newcastle. Glasgow kills it for the other two. But Edinburgh, again, it's a little bit, you know, it is a little bit more conservative. It's a good room, yeah.
Yeah, but they're up their own hole. But it's fine. You know, Edinburgh's a beautiful city, but Glasgow is more crack.
100%.
Glasgow is 100% more crack.
Is Frankie Boyle Glaswegian as well? I'm assuming he is he?
I guess. I know him from... I feel like I met Frankie the first weekend I ever did at the Glasgow Stand.
Oh, right.
And you stayed in like a B&B, but that was early in my career. I just remember loving it.
Yeah.
And I got to know this Scottish Indian comedian called Saj that I've lost touch with, but we used to play squash and have good times. But anyway, that room is exceptional.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, there were times, I don't know if they do it anymore, but there were times where if your show times were right, you would get the train to Glasgow, do a spot in the stand and come back and do your show here in Edinburgh, or vice versa. Yeah. Do your show, get right the train, because it's like less than an hour on the train. Yeah. Do a spot in the stand and come back.
Right, yeah.
And you get like £80.
Brilliant.
For a spot in the stand.
A few people have recorded
still do that.
Yeah. Stuart Lee recorded a special there as well. That's a fucking great room. Great room.
So much so that now that we're talking about this, I'm going to fucking book a weekend in there.
Fucking right. Me and Mama in there?
No.
No, just doing stand up.
Yeah, sorry about the creaking. I'm on like a rocking.
That's your hip.
That's what it feels like.
So, obviously,
with the creaking, it's that my aging toxic masculinity that came out in full force on the golf course today.
You have to stand. One has to stand up for themselves as well. Yeah. I think it's the moral of that fucking story.
Oh my God.
And obviously, famous.
Here we go again. We're on the road again.
And I remember, when I had started out as an actor, I was on tour with Drew Theatre Company. And I remember tweeting you back in the times. This is way before I was doing any stand-up. And I was reading My Dad is Nearly James Bond. My Dad was Nearly James Bond on tour. I remember reading it in Cork in The Everyman when I was on stage in Cork that night. And so you famously came to Edinburgh to do My Dad was Nearly James Bond. 5 stars in The Guardian, which was a fucking huge deal at the time.
That's right.
You brought your dad on stage. Is that 10 years? Was that 2012 or?
No, it's 12 years ago, bro.
It's 12 years, 2010 it was. Fuck.
Yeah, man. Time flies.
So when you come back.
I did that show in Glasgow after my dad died. And actually, I remember there was like so much heckling that it kind of fucked up the show.
Oh, really?
Because Glasgow's great for comedy, but they struggle with the
none of your emotions, thank you very much.
Fuck off with your feelings, man. Didn't come here to fucking cry. I came here to fucking laugh, eh? What the fuck is this shit?
Oh, fucking right, yeah. So you've got loads of memories of doing, your favorite times of coming here down the years. Was it James Bond?
Memory, I will always be. Sorry.
In the town I love so well.
I have great memories here, but I never came for a lot of years in a row. So I have great memories, but not as much as some of my contemporaries that like come every year.
Because that is, they say that's the thing with Edinburgh.
But my 08, 09, and 2010, those 3 years in a row were my best years. Because I came in 2002, I came in 2004 with the. Work experience. I did a show. I did like a show about my minimum wage experience.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2004, did okay. But 2003, I was filming the work experience, so I couldn't come.
Mm.
And then 2005, I didn't do it because I was literally fucking gigging and I was like out of my mind, fucking busy. But the most sort of settled I was 08, 09, 2010. That was my best run.
Right.
Of Edinburgh shows. And I've had all the good ones. 2014, Made in China did well. And I've had good times here, but that 3 years in a row, that is the best way to do it. Because you do feel the momentum and the pressure eases. You know what I mean? You get into like an Edinburgh mindset.
That's what they say. You basically have to come year after year after year to kind of build your Edinburgh audience.
But it definitely works. For here, not everywhere is like that, but for here it definitely works.
It absolutely works.
But you also do get into a bit of an Edinburgh thing.
Of always doing a themed show.
Or something, I don't know, but I've been enjoying it this year, but I have to say, it hasn't made me go, oh, I miss Edinburgh and I can't wait to come back next year. I've just been like, oh, I'm glad that I did it.
It seems like it's definitely a time and a place in someone's career, isn't it? It's kind of like, it's not as much of a rite of passage as it was before, because lots of people, loads of people are sending me messages, you're fucking killing it, you're over in Edinburgh Fringe. I'm like, it's not really like that. It's fucking hard work.
And then people always go, wow, the reviews are great. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, well, I'm looking on your Instagram. It's like, yeah, I only post positive shit on my Instagram.
Yeah. I'm not going to see. Yeah. I am honest about it.
Oh, your show is killing it.
Do you know what I say on my Instagram? I'm like, I am fucking killing it at the Flyer Ring, let me tell you.
Oh, that's right.
I'm good at Flyering. Because I did, from a one pre-sale to 24. That wasn't a fucking a bad one at all. So me and Mama is going on tour for Autumn in Ireland, isn't it?
I got like 7 more dates and then I have to let it go, man. It's been going on forever.
Let it go.
I mean, I prefer, listen, the pandemic fucked up me and Mama because the show was flying before the pandemic and then there was a 2-year break. Now, the show has been going great since
the pandemic. It's still great, Des.
No, I know, but dude, I'm fucking sick of it.
Yeah.
I've been going on about my dead mother.
Don't say that before you're selling tickets, Des.
No, but I'm talking about my dead mom every night on stage.
I know, okay, yeah.
Like, when I say I'm sick of it, I the show is great, but yeah. I need to move on.
You need to move on in your life.
Yeah. I obviously I had the pandemic year, which I was in New York more. I had all that pandemic material, which was great, right? But all that pandemic material is gone. And in terms of nobody wants to hear it anymore and I don't want to say it. But after that, I went back to Mia Mama and now I'm doing Mia Mama. So I feel like it's been years since I did anything, because even that pandemic material, I don't feel connected to it. It's weird.
We're not connected to it as well, because it's like a moment in time. It's happened and no one's fucking talking about it now.
Yeah, it was
no
one wants to talk about it. It was like a moment in time. So I really do I kind of can't wait to just get my mindset into what's the next thing that I'm going to be talking about. Yeah. So I shouldn't be dismissive about the show. I don't mean it in that way.
Yes, I understand.
But there's seven
saying,
left. Yeah. These dates are postponed from nearly 2 years ago. I'm still doing postponed dates.
Yeah.
And I know that's partially my fault because I live half the year in New York now. Mm. So obviously I have to fit them into these slots where I'm not in New York. But once these seven are done,
I get what you're saying. It is time for you to move on from that stuff. But it's still, I've seen it about 50 times and it's absolutely amazing show.
But I have to say doing it in Edinburgh, I miss I have to do it in an hour here.
Yeah, you have to cut it down basically.
I've never done a show in Edinburgh that I actually thought this show would be better if it was 15 minutes longer, but Mia Mama suffers from being shorter.
Right.
There's just not enough time to establish my mother's life. You know, I had to cut a lot out of the early part of the show.
Yeah.
I feel it suffers because of that. But it's still going well. But I haven't been enjoying it as much here as in Ireland. That's not because of the Irish jokes. It's just because,
it's the establishment.
Even last night, I had dinner with people that came to the show, and she was saying, you were rushing through all that information in the beginning, and I was loving it. I could have listened to that for hours.
Yeah.
You know,
And it's fascinating, that stuff at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, and I have to do that a lot quicker, and it's unfortunate, you know?
Do you remember where some of
there's nothing I can do. It's definitely an hour and 15-minute show.
Where are some of these shows at in the autumn in Ireland?
Drogheda, Ennis.
Drogheda's
Galway.
Armagh. Armagh.
Thurles, County Tipperary. A Cork one. I haven't done it in Cork since before the pandemic, so I'm doing one more in Everyman in Cork.
Brilliant.
And possibly one other place that I don't have in my mind.
The tickets are available at desbishop.net/tour-dates. And what else was... Oh, yeah, the one thing I have to fucking ask you, because I don't know why they message me about this all the time, Des, but they all want to know when the Des Bishop podcast is coming back.
Oh, well, you know...
Fucking asking me, Des. They ask me. I'm sure they're asking you, you're just not listening to them.
Well, you know, listen. First of all, I never got a good momentum going with it since my original run. But we had a good go, me and you, and with Joanne. Honestly,
whatever happened to Joanne?
Well, when Joanne left, and then you were a little bit confused at that time.
Well, I went to school and all that.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was confused.
After that time,
about my sexuality.
We were just about to lock down, me, you, and Joanne.
Yeah, right?
We had artwork and everything.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know this audience.
But listen, this is not a criticism of Joanne. I'm 100% supportive of 100%. Joanne's decision. And listen. We're going to say she made the wrong decision. She's a fucking...
Yeah.
She's a fucking superstar.
She made the wrong decision, Joanne. You don't know what you're doing.
She's a superstar now. Yeah. And I 100% respected her decision then. And then she ended up, she did My Therapist Goes to Me... No.
Yes.
No, the one in between. What was that called?
The one she did with Mirren.
Yeah.
That was kind of a little bit before us as well, though.
No, it wasn't. It was after. But it doesn't matter. Whatever that was called, I forgot the name of it. But then after that, she went... Let's Solve Nothing. And then... But I think her smartest move was obviously going with Vogue, the huge, successful podcast. And she's been friends with Vogue for years. So it totally makes sense. But anyway, needless to say, after Joanne said she didn't want to do it, and, you were a little confused...
I had stopped podcasting. This was the second year of the pandemic. I wasn't even doing my own podcast.
I know. You literally were thinking about stopping comedy.
Really. I got into college again. Did I tell you that? I told you that the other day.
Yeah. But anyway, whatever. Long story short, I got a bit of momentum going again recently doing it on my own. And I took a break to get married. And then I don't know why, but I just a couple of weeks went by. And then I was just out of the habit. And truth be told, I still believe that I need to find... I need to find something that captures like
a topic or subject matter,
something that makes me want to
a niche.
Yeah, because it, you know, it's a lot.
You tried some other projects as well, didn't you? You had tested out some other podcast projects as well. So
I was going to do it with McSavage, but that just didn't work out. But that was not because that was just like me and Dave did a few, and then you know I was back in the States, and that just didn't happen. But that was nothing to do with me or Dave. That just kind of like
logistics.
That just kind of fizzled. Yeah, that just kind of fizzled out. But I'll figure it out.
Yeah, same with me. I've tried to. I think people don't appreciate sometimes the work that's involved with it. And like I've done quite a few episodes of another one as well. But again, we couldn't see how it was going to work out long term, and it was exhausting trying to organize to do one every week. And at the same time, when you're trying to write an hour for Edinburgh, and you're trying to write stand up, and you're trying to have a social media output as well, and it's like, you know, it's a lot. So anyway. Maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to figure something out. Yeah. I'm going to figure something out. Hannah and I sometimes talk about doing something. You know, she has Burning in Hell. She has her own. She has Giggly Squad, but she also has Burning in Hell. You know, if Burning in Hell, in years to come, if Burning in Hell evolves a bit, maybe Hannah and I will do something. But I'll figure it out.
Yeah, okay.
I'll figure it out. But listen, the numbers were okay. But like, there wasn't like a clamoring of people being like, where's the pod? So it also wasn't a case of like, you know, is this an essential bit of podcasting that needs to happen every week? Like I was feeling like it wasn't good enough in its current format that I needed to figure out something.
And what you were doing before is a lot of work as well, because I remember listening to a lot of like the Kevin Bridges episode and all when you were interviewing people and all that, but it's just a lot of work.
2016, that was the last time I was here. And my biggest mistake was not keeping that going, because that was flying.
Yeah, that was flying.
The original, you know, incarnation of the Des Bishop podcast was flying, and he made a huge mistake not keeping that up. And I think part of my mistake was I was here in Edinburgh in 2016, and I did tons of interviews, and instead of banking them, I was just like putting them up because I was just getting such a kick out of it.
Right.
And I kind of burnt out, and then suddenly I realized like getting guests was tough.
Yeah.
And it just suddenly, and I accidentally, you know, and it was too. When I was in the States, at times when I was in the States, I would interview American comics, and their numbers would like go down by half.
Really, that much?
Yeah, because it was like so, it was such an Irish listenership, and they weren't as excited about the American comics. And then, I don't know, I just was like, oh shit, you know, and I let that get in my head, and I let it fade. So it was my fault. I'm not blaming anybody.
Well, it's not your fault as well. Like, it is bloody hard work. People have to realize it's hard work to keep it up, and you are, like, we are stand-up comedians as well. This is just another aspect of it. I mean, it is, like, I see people like Joe List and Mark Norman and all that. They seem to be able to make work. If you can get a relationship with another comic, that can work really well as well sometimes at the same time. You can get yourself an NYC comic if you're going to be over there all the time.
Let's fix something out. Let's fix something out, man.
Desi B, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much, man. Nice. We calm each other down.
Yeah, I do feel more calm after that. Thank fuck. I think we processed it more.
We let it out.
We talked about it all the way over here, but then I think we've processed it now.
I hope people don't think that we're violent assholes.
We didn't hit anybody.
But I thought about it a lot.
We thought about it, but we didn't do it. Okay.
I visualized it like fucking American Psycho. I literally I kept going through the scene in my head and then coming back to the fact that I hadn't hit the guy.
It's so hard not to hit them right now. Don't, Des. Okay, it's over.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.